guys, welcome to Black with Sugar, your weekly podcast.
Welcome.
Kezia Mack and Nadia Itasan.
Nadia, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good, Kezia. Guys, how are you? So today we wanted to have a different type of podcast because a lot of people ask us to talk a little bit about us. And so we wanted to do something a little bit different and just, so we didn't prepare anything and we're just going to ask, and we're just going to ask each other questions, personal questions, random questions, so that you guys can get to know each other.
And I guess in the future, if you have questions, you can drop them in the comment and then we will reply to you.
Maybe.
Depending on the question.
All right. Are you going to start or I start?
I'm going to let you start.
Oh, I have to start?
Yeah.
We said any question, right?
We said any question, but now don't be asking me crazy question now. No, but go ahead. And I guess if you don't want to answer the question, just say, I play the fifth.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to be nice for the first question.
Okay, cool.
All right. So.
All right.
Then we go deeper.
Oh.
And deeper.
Okay.
Why did you decide to come to the U.S.?
Oh, so the first time I came to the U.S. was in 1998 with my brother and sister. We were coming to our cousin wedding. And I guess the funny thing is the first time we arrived to America, we were supposed to go to D.C. So we land in New York and my aunt was supposed to put us in a bus to go to D.C., Maryland. Mind you, she put us in the wrong bus and we end up arriving in a village somewhere, and that wasn't the proper destination. So,
did you guys speak English or not at all?
You know what? I was the one who was the most comfortable in English outside of my brother and sister. So, thank God when we literally, it was
where were you? Do you remember?
I think we were somewhere in Maryland, but that wasn't the proper stop. So, we arrived there at like 3 a.m. or something like that. So we're trying to call my aunt. Nobody's picking up the phone. And right in front of the bus stop, there is a 7-Eleven. So that means there's light, you know. So we end up just getting some drinks and some chips. And we just sat down on the bench until the morning. And then we call my aunt. She's like, oh, you guys are like 45 kilometers or whatever. So they kind of drove us to pick us up. But the reason why I fell in love, so we were a couple of weeks in D.C., and I came to New York, and I don't know, the energy, the lights, I just fell in love with New York.
Don't you think you were just impressed?
And I was. I mean, you get
movies,
there.
You know? And
no, absolutely. You know, we grew up with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Martin, so you get to the U.S., you're 18 years old, obviously you're like, oh my God, Times Square, and so I really had that, you know. That thing for...
So that was instant. When you came, you just liked it right away.
We came, we went on vacation, we came, and then I guess 2-3 years back to back, we decided to go to New York for the holidays, for
you know,
the summer break.
Because when I came here, I landed in New York, and I hated it. I thought these people were crazy. It's so cold, and I wasn't prepared for this cold. I just spent 1 year in Mexico.
Yeah.
And
oh, well.
The weather was so warm. And then I came to New York and it's cold. And
okay, so you didn't like it, but what made you come to New York?
The opportunity, the money. Okay. At that time, you know, you could make so much money. It was just money flowing everywhere. You know.
Not like right now.
No, not like right now. Yeah, it's totally changed. But at the time, there were opportunity, and I needed to learn English anyway, so I had to
also,
stay.
Okay,
yeah,
so that was a good way to learn English. Okay.
Yeah, I had to learn English, and, you know, I mean, you could have, like, a job here and there and make good money, actually.
Okay, that's fair.
But I hated it. I was just like, those people are crazy. It's so cold in this country. But why would they live here?
I guess they don't have the choice. They're born
guys,
here.
It was so cold. So cold. And I'm sure that's the experience of a lot of French people when they come to New York and they're like,
I mean, we have the,
this is something else. You
we
know?
Have the cold, and sorry, I cut you off. We have cold in Paris, in France, but I think the cold here in America is just next level.
Yes, right? Yeah. Okay, well, it's an interesting answer.
Well, thank you.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay, so I'm just going to...
You, let's make a rule. You can ask a question that I ask you.
Okay.
All right?
That's fair. I wasn't going to ask you that kind of question at all. I was going to ask you more something about your family. Do you have any siblings? How many siblings do you have?
So we are five kids.
Five kids, okay.
Yes, and I have three sister and one brother.
Okay.
I was in the middle. And you know, the middle child, we always think we're invisible.
I'm a middle child, so did apparently think, with
you,
the problem.
Did you have the same feeling?
People say middle child are the troublemaker.
The troublemaker?
Yeah.
I
promise you, people.
I was so quiet. I was like, you know, I was very quiet when I was a little girl.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. No, because I'm trying to, you know.
Really? Trying to imagine myself quiet.
Yeah, be quiet.
I need to get back all the lost time, right? So I have two older sisters, one little sister and one little brother. And my brother was the last one. My parents tried to, you know, they keep having daughters and daughters after daughters. And so they really wanted to have a son. So, you know, they stopped when they finally got my little brother.
Okay.
And what I'm going to ask. Are you single?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you actually looking for someone?
I'm looking, but basically I'm not looking.
That was a tricky question because I know she's not, you know. That's
definitely not looking.
Maybe there is some people
I'm a little bit lazy on that side, which the pandemic didn't help.
Please send your resume. So what are you looking for? What would be the perfect man?
A fine-ass man.
What is this answer? Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Good question. I will say someone who will let me be free in a sense where, you know me, I'm a loner. I like my alone time. So being able to still have that while being in a relationship, definitely someone smart, I'm a creative person, so I'm French. I like to debate. I like a good conversation, so I like to be entertained. I like to, you know, I like good conversation, so someone who definitely can keep up on conversation. I like tall people. I like tall men. Most of the guys that are dating were very tall.
So if a guy is short, they can't? Like, they will have no chance?
Most likely, I'm not probably going to even look at you. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I will say,
I don't discriminate like that, you know.
I don't know if you can call it discrimination.
It is.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Well, for my own defense, I grew up with a lot of tall people around me. My brother is about 6'4". Most of my best friends are like 6'6", 6'8". So I've been around that a lot. So I think maybe it's a comfort zone, you know, if...
Well, me, you know, my dad was short and, you know, my family, we're not really tall, so...
We're not really tall. For some reason, my brother is tall for... I don't even know where he
I'm
got
five
that from.
5'5", which is... I'm the tallest girl in my family, although there is a debate with my older sister that she says she's taller than me. I don't think so, though. But, Moroccan people are not that tall, you know, quite...
You got a couple exceptions, I guess, here and
very
there.
Very few.
Very few. Well...
No, there is some tall guy, but I think in general, it's not a nation that are very tall.
Okay, okay. That's fair. So I'm looking, but I'm not looking. So hopefully, if things get back to a certain normal where we can go back out and, you know, get a drink and do things that we love, I might.
But to go back to the size things, you know what I don't like with tall men? Yeah. How do you kiss them? How do you do? Like
I think it's just natural.
You have to climb the guy.
You don't. I mean, the funny thing is, you will ask that kind of question, and for me, I never really ask myself
never
that question.
I'm a kisser. I love to kiss you everywhere. You know,
French.
So. I don't know if it's no. I don't think
you French or kisser. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Most. Yep.
So you think I've been influenced by the French culture in that?
For the kiss, yeah.
No, I think it depends. Some people are kissers, some others are not. I'm very affectionate.
Yeah, you are. You are, actually. Yeah,
so I think, you know, so for me, it's if I cannot, I will be miserable.
No, you know? I'm sure there was a way, I mean, I never
the
really...
The guy always have to bend, and, you know, you cannot have a kiss unless, you know...
He's just gonna scoop you up.
No, I like that when I have my heels that the guy is approximately my size, so I can, you know, hug him and kiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll think about that next time I date someone, and if he's taller.
Yeah, you tell that me.
That's gonna come into my mind. I was like, oh, next time Nadia asked me about kissing, I'm gonna let me see what's going on. How about, is there one thing that you never told about you? And you don't have to say it, but do you have that one secret that you never told anyone?
Okay, I have to think about this. I have many secrets. But never told anyone? Oh no, I talk too much.
You're your own problem.
No, because I think like I'm an open book, you know. So I don't think there is I mean, there is things that some, it depends who were in my life at the time when it happened.
Makes sense.
But generally, yeah, the people, closest people in my life, then they, yeah, there is always somebody that knew about some secret or whatever, something, you know. But I'm pretty much an open book, so.
Okay, okay.
Is that a good answer?
It is a good answer. I mean, that means as me being your friend, I pretty much know everything that I need to know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think of what could be the question that our audience would like to know about you.
The size of my boobs, maybe.
Oh, were they big? I don't know your size of your boobs, actually. What
I'm
is
a
your size?
34 double D.
Okay, so.
Yeah. She's like, girl.
That's big.
Yeah.
How old were you when you had your first boyfriend? When I mean boyfriend, you know exactly what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. we know. Actually, for me, it was important to be 100% okay with that. So I learned at an age where I knew it was going to be my decision. So I was past 19.
Okay.
I was past 19. So.
And how long were you with the guy? Do you remember?
A good two and change, and you know, because I decided to come here.
Wait, two and change. It's just funny, you know, 2 hours, 2 months, 2 weeks.
No, 2 years.
Years.
I'm talking about in years.
Two seconds.
That was funny. I was, you know, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, is it two and a half what?
Years.
Okay. And are you still in contact with him?
Not at all.
Do you know anything about him? You're not curious about it?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
Maybe he's married, he has kids.
Oh, he's probably. I actually think he has children. I don't know nothing about. See, I don't know nothing about his life, but I'm sure he's with someone. I'm sure he's a father. But I just don't know nothing about that.
You know, I like sometimes, like, you know, check out on what my ex.
That's one thing that
are doing. No, you don't care?
I don't, because me, it's, and I think it's the same with friendship. Once I cut you off, I cut you off.
No, but it depends, you know.
I mean, once you're not
cut off badly, you know.
Not cut off badly, but for me, once you're not in my life, you're not in my life. And I'm not going to look for that information because it's not going to add anything to my life.
So you never, I don't know. I mean, I never asked. But it did happen sometime, but I'm just wondering, oh, I wonder what this person became. And
did you ever heard me talking about an ex or you news about someone
no.
I used to date or something like that?
No.
See? No.
Not at all.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but sorry guys if I didn't check up on you.
No. I mean, it's just about curiosity, you know. I'm not curious about that kind of stuff. So, your turn?
Oh yeah, my turn.
You sound so excited about it.
No, because, yeah, I'm trying to figure out smart questions, you know. So, we coming from another country, do you think coming to America was the right choice for you?
Well, that's a good question, because I did believe that for a long time. And now I'm like, I think I'm questioning that.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I have some people that went back to France and tell me, oh, it's formidable. I don't know what you're doing in the United States. This is so much better, and it's so much better here. And also because I think, you know, it was so challenging in New York to find somebody, you know, serious. Because I feel like if I had lived in France, I probably had kids and
be married and yes. things like, okay.
And in New York City, remember, you know, the dating podcast that we did? It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to find somebody serious. So I felt like, you know, and you try and try and try and try and try. Didn't happen. Also, I actually don't feel like Americans are as optimistic as they were when I came here.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you... Do you have this feeling?
No, I think it's... Obviously, I still like to be in New York, but it's becoming more and more difficult. And this whole 2020 and, you know, the events make everything even more difficult. And my take is I really don't know where we're heading, you know?
Yes.
That's where you're like, oh.
And I think New York City, when the economy is good, you know, it's a great city to be. There's you're plenty thriving, of opportunity. Yeah. But when it's not... It can be dangerous and it can be very depressing. Like you have to be very, very strong.
Very know? Strong.
It's also a very lonely city, you know. So sometimes I just get tired of being by myself all the time. You know, I wish I had somebody, you know, you wake up next to someone.
No, I'm 100% with you. I'm a loner, but at the end of the day, yes, I do want to settle down. Yes, I do want to get married and have a family. We'll see when that happens, but I completely understand your position.
My turn.
Your turn.
I have a question, actually. Jehovah Witness, do you have the right to have animals?
What do you mean, animals?
Animals in the house.
Oh, yeah. No, no, because I was like, animals? Like,
I'm not talking about like, a cow.
Like, I don't, what kind of animals is talking about?
Like a dog, cats.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, that kind of stuff has nothing to do with religion, I guess.
No, I was just wondering because I didn't know if you had or you never had animals at home, right?
No, because me and my dad are both asthmatics, so...
Oh, so you can't.
We are allergic.
What about me? You're fine with Mickey, right?
She's fine because her hair are short. I'm more allergic to cats. Cats are definitely a no-go. Feathers, pollen, you name it, I'm allergic.
Oh, by the way, guys, because Mickey is my dog.
Oh, Mickey is Nadia's dog.
I am this type of woman who, you know, who have those little dog, treat them like babies. You know, that's, you know, that's New York City kid. Makes you crazy when you're going to tell you.
No, yeah. Jehovah's Witness can have, we had a fish, but he died.
Oh, wow. You know something funny about fish? So my brother used to have fish, you know, and they will die all the time. And sometimes they will go buy the fish, put it back before find out that he died. And he had also, when we were in Morocco, my parents find like a cat. You know, there's cats everywhere there, everywhere. But they were like this... Baby cat, is it like this?
Kitten. Yeah.
Whatever.
It's the same thing.
You know what? I have to clarify this. Our English is so much better when we're not on camera and recording ourselves. For some reason, every time we're recording ourselves, we forget the word, the words. We like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I don't know how to speak English anymore. It's crazy. And I think maybe we are a little bit nervous or something.
Yes, but English also is not our first language. And
but
I think,
still,
you know,
I've been here for so many years. I know, and I can still, have full-on still, conversation
still.
With people. And, you know, and I sometimes I feel like I sound so dumb.
No, you're not.
Anyway, so there is this kitten and my little brother was so young. He was like 4 or 5 years old, you know. And he's like, oh, mommy, I want
to keep it.
Yes, so they took it and, you know, and he was just like taking the cat, putting it in the water, washing it. I don't know what the hell he was doing. And my mom, she ended up taking the cat and putting it back on the street, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, well, my parents are like this. They were, I tell you another story after that things that really pissed me off. But anyway, they did tell my brother that the cat died and that he killed it. And I used to tell him like, you're a killer.
Your parents were cold for that.
He was crying. say, you killed the cat? I really did believe, though, at the beginning, it's only later that my mom told me, no, he didn't kill it, but, you know, he was mistreating the cat, so we let him go. Yeah, my parents did something terrible. Terrible. And I find out not so long ago.
Really?
Yes. I was an adult and like a really grown-up adult. So when we were younger, where we were living, there were also cats hanging around. Mm-hmm. And there is one cat that keep coming at home. And we kind of like adopted the cat, although it was still a little bit savage, I would say. But he will come at home, get used to us giving...
You were feeding
food.
Him and things
yes.
like that? Okay.
Just at night, she wasn't sleeping at home. You know, my mom didn't like it, so...
She was just running around.
But during the day, she was coming all the time, and her name was Zoe. And
Zoe.
I love this cat, you know. It's very interesting. Animals are so smart. When you cry, she will come and rub herself mm-hmm. on you, you know, mm-hmm. and do the les ronronnements, comment on appelle ça?
I have no idea.
Anyway, do you know that little sound that they do when she will come like this? I loved it. And we went to Morocco. We come back. And you know, when you're kids, you don't pay attention to this type of things. And the cat is nowhere to be found. I remember looking for days and me and my sister and going to, you know, outside and call the cat and looking for it in the whole village. And about... I think that was like maybe 4 years ago. Not so long ago. Huh?
That's not so long ago. That's not like so 4 years ago.
No, 4 years ago, I'm in the living room. I'm visiting my parents in France. I'm in the living room, and I don't remember where we started talking about this. And I said, you know, Mom, this is so sad. You know, you never find out what happened to our cat. And everybody looked at me and started laughing. And my mom said, "But we throw it away." I was so pissed. That's not funny.
But basically,
so
what happened is
in shock.
You guys went on vacation, and your mom was like, "I don't know what you do with
like
the dog."
You know, like those dumb people they do in France. You know, they take the cat and they just like and animals, and they throw it. You know, on the highway. That's just crazy. My parents.
Your parents did that.
No, that's horrible. That's horrible. And I was so in shock that they could do something like this. I swear I wanted to cry. Because, you know, I could feel like I love
my
dog.
No, because you've been looking for the cats for days.
And I never knew. They were all making fun of me because I didn't know.
Oh.
And my little sister never knew the cat, you know, because she was born after.
Yeah.
She's laughing. She's like, "Oh my God, you just found out! Oh, poor you!" And you should have seen my face, Kizia. And I was so pissed off. I was disappointed that they took that decision. I was so disappointed. A lot of time we think our parents are just perfect.
Yeah.
And grew up, and you understand they're just like us, you know. And they're still finding themselves and try to make the best decision that they can. Oh, that was a terrible decision, though.
Dad was like, "I'm not happy with that one."
Anyway, that was a parenthesis about that kitten. So don't do that. This is terrible.
Don't abandon your animals.
Give your animals away. Do not throw them on the highway. No. I'm sure there is other solution, you know. And don't commit to having animals if you're not going to take care of it.
Yes. That makes absolutely sense. And I hope that cat found a home and...
I don't know. It's probably died, you know. And can you believe how heartbroken... Yeah, animal can be heartbroken too, you know. And
yeah, because he's like, "Oh, this family, I thought they loved me. And then at the end of the day, they didn't really love me. They abandoned me. They went away."
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't even like to think about it. It really pissed me off. Wow. I was so in shock. All right, the next question.
Whose turn is it?
I think that's your turn, no?
That's my turn to
ask you...
You asked me, you just asked me the question about the animals.
And then I only talk.
Okay, so what kind of wedding do you want?
What make you ask that?
I kind of want to see, like, do you want a big wedding,
okay,
fancy?
So before
do you want a low-key wedding?
All right. Before I answer the question, what kind of wedding do you think I want?
Well, from my experience with you, I will say definitely family and friends, even if the amount of people is not big, but I feel like we're going to go for like a fancy wedding. When I say a fancy wedding, I think you want the white dress, the whole thing. I don't know.
I think the more you grow or you get older, I prefer the word grow.
Right? Shall we ask questions about our age?
No. They already know. I think we already talked about it. But I think the more I grow and the less it's important, actually, because now I'm really looking for love. And I think women, we want the big wedding and this, and I really don't care. I think it's so much more important for me to find the right person. I actually think that even if the guy were telling me, like, you know what, let's get married, you know, on the beach and like a little ceremony, and I'd probably do
it. You'll be fine with that.
I think that's something I could do it, because for me, it's really more the meaning behind it now.
Yeah.
You know, the commitment that somebody can make to you, than the party and things like that. Now, because I'm Moroccan, and in Morocco, it's a big deal.
And y'all have to dress 7 times differently.
Yeah, but it will not be for me, it will be actually for my family, because, you know, I come from a very small town in Morocco. Hello to El Kebab, you know.
Hello, la famille.
Exactly. Which is a very small town in Morocco. And there's not a lot of entertainment, I would say, not at all. And the only things that they look forward is wedding. You know, that's where people dress up.
Good party.
They go out. That's where they meet other people. That's where you find maybe the next husband. You know, I would want to do a party for them so that they can enjoy and eat and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No.
And, you know, I remember when we did my sister's wedding in Morocco, there were so many people that came, and some of them are really poor, actually.
So they were able to actually eat a good meal.
Yes, they're there, they eat, share. They have fun, because we have live music, everybody dance. So it's good, because for them it's like, you know, you forget a little bit about, you know, your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I will, maybe something like small in Marrakech, like maybe I do a little, like you said, maybe little things with my friends and something a little bit more fancy with, you know, people that are very close to me. But it's not as important as it once was.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm still praying every night. Is this going to happen? They might think, like, this girl, she's crazy. How can she's not married? French people are going to think that, like, okay, something must be wrong with her. I'm not a freak. I'm not a crazy person. I don't think so. But
we just took our time.
No, I met a lot of crazy people. Right?
New York City.
No, but can you confirm to...
I confirm.
That's not me.
That's not you. I confirm, being in New York, you're going to meet nothing but crazy. On a serious note, we're laughing and we're joking, but...
It's true. It's true.
The dating side is a little crazy.
Really crazy people. Really crazy people asking you weird things, or being weird and you didn't know about it. And then you find out, you know, crazy stuff. So it's like, no. It's something else here. Do you want to have kids?
Yes.
How many?
Let's start by one, because I have zero right now. But I will say 1, 2. I don't know.
Did you freeze your eggs?
No.
Are you going to freeze it?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I think if I can call it that way, I made peace with that process, where if it happens, if it happens naturally. If it doesn't, I feel like there's so many other ways to be become a mother that I'm okay with that. If I have to go another route, then I'm okay with that. Yeah.
So, like, would you consider adoption?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so many kids out there with no parents who could use love, who could use a mom or affection. So.
And you don't have any pressure from your parents?
Oh, no. If you listen to my mom, she will let you. She will tell you, listen, life's too crazy. If you don't get married, it's fine. If you don't have kids either.
Really?
Oh, my mom, she's like, don't bother. And my thing is,
why?
Like...
no, but because she went through, like... She
no, not even that. Because she see how life is a little bit more difficult, I guess, now than before. But you know, my thing is, like, I tell her that I was like, well, you have 3 kids and a husband, so it's easy for you to say don't do that,
right?
But she's definitely, my parents are not the kind of parents that put pressure on, like, marriage coming from an African family. It's never really was a question. The only one who's married so far is my sister.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one question.
Just one?
I mean, one by one. What is the best advice your mom or dad gave you?
My dad would say often, you know, my dad passed away, but he was, I think he was a very wise man. So he had some rules. Also, it's related to religion, but it would be always, always respect the words that you gave. Meaning, if you promise something to someone,
you have to commit.
You have to do it. Do not say you're going to do something and then you don't do it. That's because for him, your words are your worth. And so I really tried to stick to that.
And I think in English, didn't they say your word is your bond or something like that?
I don't know.
See, I think that's the way you say it. That your word is your bonds, meaning you have to commit to what you said.
Yeah. You remember when there is this person who asked me to lend her money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was hesitating in doing so. But because I previously say, oh, if you need help, don't worry, you know.
I got you.
And I just said it kind of like that. And then the person came back and said, oh, but came back almost right away. You know, I thought maybe she's going to ask other people, right? Right away, she came back to me and asked if I can give her the money. I was a bit torn about it. I remember having my glass of wine and think, okay.
Can I ask you a question? Was it the first time that person asked you or?
Yeah, that was the first time, yeah. I remember having a glass of wine and thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And then I had these things that my father said all the time. And I just thought, you know what, Nadia? You said it. You have to do it. And so I did it. Another thing also that he said all the time, if you borrow money from someone, always give it back. This is very important, not to have debt. So, but there's this expression also in English, you know, or maybe it's in French, les bons comptes font les bons amis.
In French,
you know,
les bons comptes font les bons amis.
Comment on dit en anglais? Good account makes good friends. I don't know. There's going to be a misconception.
We're going to have to translate
good
that.
Good bank account make good friend. No, that's not how
you say that. But we'll make sure to make the translation.
It means just keeping the book closed with your friend, meaning that you don't owe them any money. You know, if you borrow, you always give it back.
Yeah.
This is important.
And I like that answer.
So I have a very, very important question for you, Kizzy.
Okay.
very important.
I feel like every time you ask me a question, I'm like, da-da-da.
So what is this T-shirt you're wearing?
Oh.
So nice.
It is nice.
I love it.
That's actually a smart question right there. That's a smart question right there.
Right.
So, today, let me switch up my mic a little bit so you can fully see the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, you know, we have some, you know, yeah, very good view.
So, I'm actually wearing one of Nadia's designs from her brand, Aitasan.
No way!
Yes, way!
And I did not force her.
No, you did not.
She saw me wearing mine, and you see, this is, you know, another design that I did. And so she's like, oh, yeah, you know what? Let me wear yours too, you know. And I had, you know, I had a size, so it was perfect, and it fit her perfectly. So these are actually Berber sign. So I'm sure, you know, people are going to recognize it. So in my tribe, women used to do tattoo on their hands and on their face, on their feet. And every tattoo had a meaning, actually. I mean, there are several meanings. It's for growth, spirituality, for fecundity. Fecundity, you say like this?
Fertility.
Fertility, sorry. Also to keep you from evil eyes, to protect you. And so they will have this in different time of their life. It's also kind of like
a beauty
sign? A rite of passage.
Okay, I see what you mean.
When you become a woman.
It's like a step in your life.
Yes, when you become a woman or when you get married. This was part of our ancestral tradition. We were doing this and it was part of our belief system. And if you didn't have any tattoo, you were actually not considered pretty. It was very important to have tattoos.
Interesting.
Also, it allowed because every tribe will have their own kind of tattoo.
The own
from the type of tattoo, you will know which kind of tribe which they tribe belong you to. From? Because it's something we don't do anymore, unfortunately. My grandmother had them. Many of my friends' grandmother had them and aunt and stuff like that. But now we don't see it anymore. And I think it's so beautiful. So I wanted to kind of bring that back so that we don't lose our traditions. And
it's a good initiative. And I think we need that to keep some of those tradition that we come from alive. It's very important for who we are, actually.
And to learn also where you came from, I think it's...
Absolutely. And then you learn about your culture every day, so that's a good way to learn.
Yes, yeah. So, well, thank you for answering my question, Kizia.
You're welcome.
Such a beautiful t-shirt. I want one like this as well.
Well, they'll be available soon, and you guys will be able to order them.
Yes, on itasan.com. There is some already available on itasan.
Well, go ahead and order.
But I will bring up more design and also like sweatshirts and hoodies and stuff like that coming soon. So I hope you guys like it.
They will. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yes, it's my turn. It is. Okay, so... Oh, actually, for those who don't know, I'm the founder of Afropolitan Magazine. Is there something from what you see that you do not like about the magazine that should change? Or something that I should improve?
The YouTube channel.
We're working
because,
on it.
Right? Because I was so surprised that on Instagram, we have so many followers doing very well. I think the photo shoot now that you're doing, I mean, you went to a different level. I know Kizia since the beginning when she started and it was nothing. And it went step by step. I saw her like going from zero to something. And something, I'm very proud of you. You did something very beautiful.
You.
No, seriously, I'm very impressed. I mean, a lot of us were like, kind of like, oh, this is never going to work. And it's not, I never thought that it would not work. I just thought the paper version of it, you remember? We had this talk.
Yeah, we had the conversation.
Kizia, just stay online. Online is the future because you started quite a bit ago. And I just, I remember from my own behavior, I wasn't buying magazine anymore, like paper magazine, and I will do everything online. And I think I wasn't wrong either, right?
Yeah, I think it's...
More success online, right?
We have success online, but the funny thing is, as far as the magazine itself, when I asked the question, and even for the people who buy the magazine regularly, at some point we wanted to do a digital version, and they were like, oh, we're just going to wait for the print to come out. I'm like, oh, you don't want to... So I think there's a certain crowd, I'll say the more old school or the people who are a little bit older that follow the magazine, they like to keep because they always say it's a beautiful product. They always keep it as a coffee table. So even me, sometimes when I try to push people to go for the digital, they'll be like, oh no, I'd rather just wait for the print. And you know, so.
No, there is something that I understand about this because you're right. The magazine is beautiful. And you have beautiful picture and it's beautiful to hold, to touch, and you can display it also as well. I mean, you started from zero and now you're already, you know, I mean, it's very impressive.
We have a site, we're working on a YouTube channel, Instagram is doing well, Facebook is doing well. We're doing bigger and bigger productions, so it's on the making.
The YouTube channel, actually, that was like, you know, you weren't really into it, you know. But now we're changing that, so.
We are.
So don't forget to subscribe.
Okay.
Who is your favorite singer, actor? Like which star or someone famous, whatever, have inspired you the most?
Wow.
And why?
Okay, my answer is going to probably not shock you, but for me, my biggest inspiration are always been my parents because I've seen them building their life, losing everything, building it again. And for me, my parents are my biggest supporters, so they're always the one that I look up to. Now, obviously, there's a bunch of celebrities that I like, whether it's Michael Jackson, whether, you know, I love Stevie Wonder, love his music.
I have to tell you something about this, something that I felt really terrible about.
About
you know,
what?
I didn't know you love Stevie Wonder so much.
No, we talked about that.
And you remember when I had the tickets and I invited another friend. And then you're like, oh, I love Stevie Wonder. I was like, really? I had free tickets to go see Stevie Wonder. And I actually, asked somebody to go and they're like, oh no, I cannot go. And I just didn't know you were
that
such
you didn't
a
know.
Fan.
And it's not like we never really talked about it.
Yeah, and I didn't yeah, know. Yeah, and it's yeah. just, yeah, but you know what? The person invited was not a, I mean, she liked it, but she was not a fan like you were. I felt terrible. I was like, oh well, my God, I guess now you know. Got you there.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. it's not like I'm broadcasting. I would say, oh my God, I'm such a fan, or, you know, as far as, what can I say? I think what gives me inspiration a lot, definitely music, because I love to work and do things with music on. It just put me in a mood. And sometimes just a word from a song will inspire me to create an image or a mood board. So music-wise, I have my mood. So if I go to the gym, I like to listen to my Wu-Tang. That'll just give me like the energy, the pump that I need, you know?
I haven't heard Wu-Tang
Clan.
I can't believe you still listen to this.
Yeah, Wu-Tang. I love me.
I mean,
Wu-Tang.
Most of the people that are gonna watch us, they don't even know who that is.
Yes, I'm sure they do.
You think?
Oh yeah, yeah. No. Wu-Tang definitely. If you do listen to hip hop, you know who Wu-Tang
just
is.
Yeah. One, two, one, two.
So definitely, that's you. If I go to the gym, you know, have some Wu-Tang on. But I got mood where I like classical music, R&B. I definitely love African music, Bon Kofi or Fally. Like, we grew up on that. And I think my parents also love music a lot. So we grew up listening to a whole lot of music at home, a lot of genre. And music for me is definitely a form of inspiration. And I'm not saying I have a specific singer that I'm a fan of, because I love so many different genre, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
but I want to know, like, if there's someone that inspired you with, you know, something particular that you, like a mentor that you look up to and like, oh my God, this is who I want to be.
If I'm half the person who my mom is, and I'll be happy with that. Literally, I'll be happy with that.
Okay. But I think you are.
No. No, my mom is such a, no. I mean, okay, I need a little bit more of her. My mom is definitely more, I look like my mom physically, but I have my dad's character, so.
So what's wrong with your dad?
Stubborn like me. Hard-headed like me. Opinionated like me. You know.
So how is your mom? What are the qualities of your mom that you would like to have?
My mom is more kind. I'm more like a cold person. My mom is calm. Like, she's like really welcoming. She like go out of her ways to help people. She almost sacrificed herself to make sure other people are okay and taken care of. Mm-hmm. My mom, she's just like funny. She's definitely, maybe that's the French, or maybe living in France for a long time. She say what she say. She's straight to the point. She doesn't like the, you know, the, mm-hmm. If she have something in mind, she's going to be clear. And we'll say probably have a better delivery than me, where I'm more like my dad, where if I don't like you, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I don't like you. And after that, I'm going to think about, oh, I should probably say that a nicer way. Mm-hmm. So, and my dad is exactly like the same. My mom, she's a, you know, strong woman.
But I think you're a strong woman too. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think you're a very strong woman. Opinionated, that's for sure. But, you know, you can be wherever you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like me enough to, you know, to But I think in general, like, if I say inspiration, it's more like when you see someone going from zero to be successful, for me, it's inspiration. Yes, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and also, that's one thing that really, that I loved when I came here in America.
Yes,
you have
I
those,
was about to say
you have
so.
Those success story where you see people like Oprah coming from nothing and reaching out the top, or like actors from, like, let's say Morgan Freeman. Nobody knew him, and he grind and start maybe having his biggest role in his 40s, you know. Mm-hmm. I think here you always have that thing. It's never too late. Right. You know, it's never too late. You can always get to where you want to go. So,
and it's not only the stars. I mean, I have
it's everywhere,
so
like the business people,
friends.
The it's everybody here, you know.
Yeah, I have so many of my friends that came from nothing, and they came here, and I mean, they came here, or they were from here, actually,
yeah.
But they were not from rich family, and they did it all by themselves, which is, yes, it's very inspiring. American people are very good marketing, I have to say. They're not like French people, like, you know, okay, 5 o'clock, I have to go home. American people, they do work a lot. They love to work because they associate themselves to their success and to their work. Yeah. You know, it's very important.
Like they call it, the grind is real. Do you have any regrets? Something that you just like, oh, should have never done that. The biggest one, like not the little petty, you know, like something that really changed the courses of your life.
I don't know if it's a regret, though. When I take a decision, always, always try to make sure that I will not have regrets, because it's very interesting that you ask this question, because I always think the hardest things in life is to move forward having regrets, because you keep thinking about what happened in the past.
Yeah.
So I always try to say, okay, I do not want to have regrets, because regrets eats you.
It's very difficult.
So I do not really have regrets. Just sometimes I wish I made a different decision, because that decision that I took lead me to a terrible outcome.
It is fair as an answer. So.
But I think it's very important to try not to have any regret. Just live your life.
Live and learn.
But to go back to your question, I think it was an important one when you said something that changed your life. Mm-hmm. I think this, for me, is more interesting question, because I did have a decision that, yes, indeed, changed my life. But I think it was for the better. Anyway, I don't know the other way around. So once you take a decision, you know.
That's it. It is what it is. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to waste my time thinking, what if? You know, there's no what if you make a decision.
Because we're never going to know. So.
Yes, exactly. So what's the point? If I think about, okay, for example, if I had stayed in France, probably be a different person, different life. Totally different life.
Totally.
And my first move was to leave France for Mexico after my business school. I mean, it was still in business school. It was an exchange program. And at the time, I had a boyfriend who wanted to get married.
Oh, and so can you imagine if you had that, make that decision?
Yeah, and he was putting pressure on me, like, big time. And he was like, oh, let's get married, blah, blah, blah. And and what I did is, I wouldn't say it's not nice. I mean, can I say what happened?
You can. When
I met him, I was in class preparatory. And I already knew that I wanted to travel. And when I say travel, it was not just about going to another country for vacation. And no, I wanted to experience what it was to live in a different country. Because to me, I felt that wherever you are, your identity is also defined by the people around you.
Yeah,
and sometimes
it's
very difficult to get out of it. Sometimes you're like, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a different person. So sometimes to evolve, because you have this pressure of people that wants to keep you the way you are. So to extract yourself from certain places and to try somewhere else, and you can be a different person and nobody knows you, you can decide to who you want to be, mm-hmm. you know? So for example, if you were a shy person, everybody knows you are being a shy person and they act towards you, you know, in a way that, oh, she's shy, so let me do this or let me do that. But now you can decide, you can mentally decide to be someone else, to be a different person. Like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go there and now nobody knows me. So here I'm going to be an extrovert and I'm going to push myself to talk to people, and there is no one to judge you.
Yeah.
That was the reason behind I wanted to try to live somewhere else, to experience who else I could be without any social pressure.
You just didn't want to be limited to just that one...
Yes.
One way, basically.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, there were other reasons that I understood later on also, but this is what my conscious mind was telling me, because obviously my subconscious was something else. So I told him when I met him, I said, well, listen, I want to travel. I want to probably follow my
dream,
my study in a different country, at least for a year. So as long as you agree with this, we can go into a relationship. Because again, in France, it's not like you're dating and
locked
it takes...
in.
No, it's, you start seeing someone, you're together. And so I wanted to make sure before we started something that he agreed with it. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I did my class preparatory, finished class prepa, and then went to business school. No, I went to business school.
Okay.
And now it was more than a year. We were together like a year and a half. And I started preparing, you know, because to go to a foreign country, you know, to do the exchange program, you had to pass some tests. They just don't send anybody, you know.
No, they probably send the smartest or the people who are,
otherwise, you know, people get lost and they don't follow. And, you know, so they have to make sure you're serious and that you have the capacity to follow, study in a different language, you know.
Absolutely.
And to be in total immersion, too. So they make you pass a bunch of tests to make sure that you're going to be okay. And only a few amount can, you know, are accepted to go. So I did that, and I was accepted.
Oh.
Come on. Were you surprised, really? Really?
Classe prépa, you know.
What are you surprised? So, and me, you know, being like superstitious, and I didn't tell anybody. I was just doing my thing. And it's like, if I pass, perfect, and if I don't, you know, whatever. And so I passed, and I decided to go with Mexico. You know why? Oh, did I ever tell you why Mexico?
No, you never told me why Mexico, actually.
So first of all, I wanted a country that would be far, really far. Because
I just need to get away from France.
No, I picked Mexico because that was the least expensive country.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And also I wanted something far because, you know, Spain, I can go anytime in Spain. Oh, yeah. In an hour and a half, 2 hours, you're there, right?
Yeah.
And it's still a European country, so culturally we're still very similar.
But interesting.
So that's why I wanted to go far. Asia, but the problem in Asia is, you know,
the language,
China,
maybe.
Yes, you know, learning Mandarin take you 5 years. So it was either Latin America or North America, you know, and
you picked the middle.
Yeah, and because of the cost, you know, at the time I didn't have any money, and I had to really, you know, make sure that it would fit in my budget. And since the pesos was, you know, it's not expensive, so I could afford to have a decent life with a very small amount of money. I was living actually with 350 euro a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something that you cannot do right now. I mean, I'm talking about in general, the life, the cost of life is so expensive that you can't really...
And I lived well, actually. I lived well because the school there, the university there gave us a house where all the girls stayed. It was only girls only, yes. And it was the house in a gated area. So we have a pool house with a pool guy that came and cleaned the pool. No, it was really cool.
That's a good experience, actually. That's a great experience.
Yes. And so...
How long did you stay in Mexico?
I stayed 1 year.
Also.
So now to come back to the story, the guy, when I told him I'm going to go to Mexico for a year, he looked at me and said, no, you're not.
Oh.
Yeah. And I said, sorry? Why are you saying that? And, you know, during our relationship, he actually went in the UK for like 2-3 months. He was supposed to stay longer. But because we had this agreement that I will travel, so I let him travel too. You know, it's like, you know, it's fine. We're young. We need to make some money. But so he's like, no, you're not. And I say, wait a minute. I thought we agreed on this a long time ago and you give me your words. You see how it's important to give somebody's words and to respect it? Because now I was like, what are you talking about? No. Now we've been in a relationship for a long time and I want to get married. Without a question, you're going there. There's no way.
Oh, so he wasn't even trying to give you a choice.
Oh, no. He told me if you go there, it's over.
Oh, yeah. I guess he was over.
Exactly.
Because you went.
So, you know the rest of the story then. So I ended up telling him, okay, I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave.
And he told me, of course, it was over. And then he called me back, started calling and calling and calling back, you know.
While you were in Mexico or before you left?
Before I left. And he said, and you know, he said to me,
what?
That's when you know, like, okay, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
And because first he was like, oh, I told my friend you wanted to go to Mexico. And they're like, what? You're going to leave your girlfriend and free your wife? Like, like I was taking the decision and he should be
like
the boss.
Like basically he's not mad enough.
Yes. So yeah. You know what he did? He came, he wanted to talk to me and he said, okay, I thought about it. So I give you the authorization.
Oh, no, you did not do none of that. I gave myself the authorization.
I took the ticket.
Don't play yourself. Do not play yourself.
I was like, this guy is crazy. But you know, it just confirmed to me that it was just not. It was just
it wasn't the one. Yeah. So okay.